bringing sanity and rational thought back to America. Rick Smith.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. Questions, comments, something on your mind, you can email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. So, the president, and again, you know, you kind of wonder where this stuff comes from, man. Just absolutely mind-blowing, and, well, at this point, you got to wonder, if even surprising, but there was a White House event for small businesses. Trump was giving his little spiel, and he said that he was told off the record. Now, again, when someone tells you something off the record, it's off the record. You don't go and you don't repeat it. It's just for the two of you. It's off the record. Most sane, rational people get this. But evidently, he was told off the record by the Foxconn chairman that the $10 billion investment they're going to make into the factory in Wisconsin was actually going to be closer to $30 billion. And, you know, well, here's the actual quote. And to be honest, it's troubling, again, on a number of fronts. Trump said he told me off the record he thinks he may go $30 billion. Think of this. He may go $30 billion investment, but he told me that off the record. So I promised I wouldn't tell anyone. Let that sink in for a second. Now, they claim this factory is going to create 3,000 jobs with the potential of, you know, a billion more. And it's only going to cost the state of Wisconsin $3 billion. So, like I said last week, simple-minded math, $3 billion in tax dollars going to create 3,000 jobs, seems like $1 million a job. Seems like an awful high cost to pay. But here to maybe give us some thoughts on if this is a good deal, a bad deal, I've asked Scott Klinger. He is the activation coordinator there at Good Jobs First. goodjobsfirst.org is their website. Scott, thanks for taking time for us.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Rick.
So, $10 billion investment, it's only going to cost the taxpayers of Wisconsin $3 billion, could go as high as $30 billion, according to the president. Is this a good deal?
Well, there's no way it can be a good deal at that level of subsidy, and your listeners should know that the $3 billion is just the state amount of subsidy. There's additional local subsidies that will be forthcoming, and they probably will measure in at least the hundreds of millions, if not higher. So the taxpayers of Wisconsin are on the hook for a lot more than $3 billion. They just don't know how much yet. And there's really no way, even if you take the 13,000 number as a real number, that's a subsidy of $230,000 a job. And the way we look at it is over the life of this deal, which is 15 years, is there any way that Wisconsin can receive $230,000 more in new state taxes than they will provide in public services, education, public safety, roads, all that sort of stuff that governments have to provide. And there's no way that anyone can do that math and answer that the answer to that is yes. So it's a money-losing proposition for Foxconn. It's a massive transfer of wealth from Wisconsin taxpayers to Foxconn shareholders.
And again, you know, I keep coming back to this. I mean, there seems to be this mentality that has permeated our politics that says that we have to pay these companies. We have to give them bribes almost for them to locate anywhere in this country. And this kind of beggar thy neighbor economic development is not good for taxpayers. It's not good for workers. And it's certainly not good for the future of this country. I mean, if we've got to buy off companies to build in our country, there's a problem.
Well, it's the war between the states, the subsidy war between the states, and it's been going gangbusters for more than four decades, and in some cases longer than that. But Foxconn's definitely reinvigorated it. There were seven states that were competing for this factory, most of them in the upper Midwest, but also North Carolina and Texas, along with Ohio, Michigan, Indiana, and obviously Wisconsin, and Illinois. So the problem is that the company keeps, it's like a bidding war, right? They're like, well, I can get $3 billion from Wisconsin. So other states try to go, well, I'll give you four, I'll give you five. And I think the $30 billion number is being more widely interpreted as they're going to build other factories in other states. Michigan and Ohio both think they still have a shot at a second factory. And in fact, Michigan just passed a new law that is largely designed to attract companies like Foxconn.
So, but what happened to the Pennsylvania factory? Because, you know, Foxconn a couple years ago, I distinctly remember Tom Corbett, the former governor, here having a big press conference, and there was a big cardboard thing, and there was some ribbons and big scissors and kind of stuff like that. There's a big to-do about Foxconn going to make Pennsylvania the Silicon Valley of the Northeast.
Right. In 2013, they announced 500 jobs there, and as far as I know, no shovel ever hit the ground. It was all just words. They've done the same thing in Brazil and a few other places around the world where they've come in with these big, high-profile announcements. Got everyone excited about the prospect of new work, and then nothing ever came of it.
So is there any guarantee this is going to happen? I mean, $3 billion is an awful lot of money. I don't know how they pass that up.
No, there's no guarantee it's going to happen. One thing I think some people in Wisconsin are looking at is what's called clawback provisions to make sure that the state can get back money in case the deal doesn't happen. One thing about the deal that's particularly troubling is most of the subsidy, the vast majority of it, is in income tax credits, and they're refundable. So not only will the company, if it does build a factory and become profitable, not only will they not pay taxes on the profits that they earn, but if they have more tax credits than they have taxes owed, the state will actually cut them a check for more than the taxes they would have owed, which is kind of ridiculous if you think about it. It's one thing to have a tax-free business, which is objectionable since the business isn't covering its public service costs, but it's another to then be writing additional checks and taking money out of schools or police or infrastructure or other things to give to a private company.
Now, here's the thing. I mean, we've been sold this, that, you know, this is the only, I've had congressmen tell me this, this is how it's done. There's no other alternative. I get that Tina argument that, you know, there's no way we can stop this. And I keep saying, you know, there's got to be a way for Congress to step in and say, you know, we're going to stop this, take transportation money away. I mean, so use of the Commerce Clause, I don't know, something, but there's got to be a way to stop this because, you know, at a certain point, it's just raiding the coffers. It's not really about moving the country forward.
Exactly. I mean, it would require federal legislation to put an end to the war between the states. There's been a few efforts, most notably in Kansas and Missouri, to stop interstate bidding, particularly in the Kansas City area there. The governor of Missouri made an offer to say, we'll stand down if Sam Brownback of Kansas would stand down, and he refused the deal. So, without some higher government, the federal government stepping in, I don't really see a ceasefire happening in this kind of behavior.
Now, they keep telling me, well, you know, states' rights. You know, come on, Scott. You know, the states are doing what they believe is in their best interest. And I'm looking at this $3 billion from the taxpayers there in Wisconsin going, how is that in their best interest? Because you're talking about 3,000 jobs. There are going to be 3,000 lucky people, and that's great for them. Even though I question the numbers that they're throwing out of $53,000 per job, but even still, I mean, you're still talking $1 million per job.
So there's two other things to be concerned about. You're right to raise the $53,000, and they've been careful to talk about that as an average. So undoubtedly, there's going to be a lot of very senior executives to run this complicated factory that are going to be making, you know, many hundreds of thousands, if not millions. They're going to be raising that average, and a lot of them aren't going to be coming from Wisconsin. There'll be people coming from Taiwan, from the corporate headquarters of Foxconn. There may be other managers coming from their network of factories in China, and as well as other high-tech factories around the U.S. So those people are going to be moving into Wisconsin. They're not going to be providing those, you know, six-figure, seven-figure jobs to people living already in Wisconsin. And one thing that they'll do is they'll bid up the housing prices, right? So you're going to have a whole bunch of new kids in schools. You're going to have, high demands for services from wealthy people. And you're going to find that ordinary Wisconsinites are going to find they're having to pay more for their housing simply because these high net worth individuals are moving into their community. No. Some people will get jobs, and that will be good, and we support jobs. But the question is, at what cost? And one more thing to raise is that this deal also comes with a whole host of environmental waivers. The company is not required to file any environmental impact statement. This is going to be a huge factory. They're allowed to fill in wetlands. They're allowed to divert streams that are flowing through the land, so they'll screw up the way water flows. in nature and through other, in effect, other properties that are maybe far from the Foxconn plant. So these are all like just, they're throwing everything at this, and it just, I think, is going to be something that Wisconsinites live to regret. Right. And there's better ways to develop jobs.
When I read that, you know, I said, you know, the first thing that popped into my mind is this is really a sign of desperation, that we're really willing to not just exploit our workforce, but also our environment and our communities.
That's right. And, you know, good deals, we're not opposed to all subsidies. There's places where they're useful and necessary. If there's a poor neighborhood that lacks a grocery store, you know, helping a supermarket locate there makes some sense and it'll create some jobs. That's a good thing. But these deals that just throw everything at it with no protections. I mean, what about workers' rights to organize? What about safety protections? Foxconn has a horrible record in China. They're the company that had to put up suicide nets on their plants because workers who were making iPhones there were jumping off buildings in large numbers. And those new suicide nets are still there. They haven't solved the underlying problems. So, you know, are these the kind of jobs that people in Wisconsin want? That's the question for them to answer. But they need to think about all the implications of this.
And to be honest, you know, you look at Foxconn and you look at the future, I got to wonder how many actual, you know, jobs are going to be for working people, since, you know, you got to imagine most of this stuff's going to be automated.
Right. I think that's, you know, that's part of the reason for the disparity between the 3,000 number and the 13,000 number. One other thing in the mix that Scott Walker's been using as he goes across the state is that it's going to create 22,000 support jobs or ancillary jobs. No doubt, if the investment does happen, that it will create some add-on jobs in other local businesses. But that number, which is almost two times the 13,000 base, is a really, really high estimate. We haven't seen many, if any, developments that generate that kind of additional jobs.
I mean, it's one of those things that makes you go, again, you know, we're just being ripped off at every turn. But not surprising to me coming out of Wisconsin, and really not surprising coming from the folks who are pushing this. Is there any way this doesn't happen? I mean, because I've talked to some people from Wisconsin, and, you know, they're on a couple sides of this. One, they're angry that, you know, there's going to be money because they're gutting funding to the University of Wisconsin, so education's taking a hit. But they're, you know, they're hoping that maybe this spurs economic development, and maybe there's a chance other firms come around.
Well, I think the good thing is we're seeing some signs of a lot of organizing going on around this, and the organizing is not to say no, but to make sure that the deal has terms that protect people. As you said, making sure there's terms if the deal doesn't happen, that the company pays back the subsidies it's received, making sure there's protections for workers, make sure there's solid wage guarantees so that, you know, a bunch of million-dollar salaries aren't inflating this $53,000 average, and that these actually are decent jobs and safe jobs. So, you know, we're hopeful that those kinds of things will persist, that the legislature has to have a special session to consider new legislation to enable this big sort of investment by the state, and we hope that part of that is also ensuring that there's environmental safeguards so that communities and neighbors of the plant won't be harmed.
You know, the hope is that rational, sane thought actually takes over, because, you know, I look at this and I don't see any moment moving forward where we stop this. This beggar thy neighbor economic development.
Well, we have to stop it from spreading to other states too, because that's you know, a second order problem that this has caused.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. But I think the work you guys do, vitally important. I look forward to talking to you again, Scott. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Rick.
Again, if you want to check out their website, goodjobsfirst.org, we'll get a link at thericksmithshow.com. Quick break, right back. Stick around. This is the Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Get a good job with your pain, you're okay. Money, it's a gas. Grab that cash with both hands and make a stash.
Where smart policy and sound investment matters. The Rick Smith Show.